in honor of Rosa Parks' courage, of course. One of the things that we teach here that I really have always appreciated is that we are here on this planet to learn. We're not here to be judged. We're not here to be tested. We're not here to be graded on how well we do so we can be rewarded or punished after we die. We are here to experience life. That's it. Or to put it more correctly, we are here for life to experience itself as us. That's the way we phrase it. And I like that the way that feels, because that means that I am here and you are here to grow in all those things we know we need to grow in, like wisdom and love and kindness and generosity and compassion and all those things. And we learn how to do this in a number of different ways. Often we learn by watching and listening to other people, and frequently we learn through trial and error. Frequently we learn by bumping our heads, so to speak, against obstacles or falling down until we learn to crawl, then to walk, and then to run. In other words, we learn to express ourselves more and more creatively in work and play. We learn to use our money more wisely instead of letting it use us. We learn to care for our physical bodies so that we can use them to enjoy the physical world. And we learn how to give love and to appreciate love. And we learn how to bring more love into our life and into the world and keep it there. And if we learn to do all these things right, as the years go by, our life becomes richer and fuller and more rewarding. That's what everyone wants. But there's one little issue that I want to talk about, one small caveat, if you will, that makes this process of personal growth a little more interesting. Even though the overall trend of life is forward, or upward, if you want to say it that way, life does not always go directly upward in a straight line. We all know that. Not even when we're doing it right. Because life has its ups and downs, which can be sometimes amusing, occasionally confusing, but frequently downright frustrating. Now, the upside is easy for most of us to handle. I mean, it's great when our life is going well, when everything's all blue skies and rainbows, and we get great parking places wherever we go, and we find money lying on the ground, those kind of things. Beautiful people call up and ask us to dinner, all that stuff, and we feel like it's never going to end. But then all of a sudden, or so it seems sometimes, something happens in our life. And it may be something little, or it may be something big. Every so often, we can feel our world start to slowly roll over, almost like it's slipping through our fingers. And the funny thing is, we may not even notice that we're doing anything differently. I mean, there we are, we're walking along, kind of fat, dumb, and happy. Everything is absolutely great. We're basking in the sunshine, and wham, all of the lights go out. Sometimes it feels like that. And before we know it, we feel like we're kind of walking through the dark without a flashlight. This ever happened to anybody here? All right, for all of us, obviously. Let me give you a personal example, and you can put your own picture on this. At one point in my life, quite a few years ago, this is almost 30 years ago, I was living a life that seemed to be going pretty well. I mean, I had a lovely wife at the time, a house in Florida, a job that I enjoyed with lots of travel. The job paid very well. And the best part of it all to me was that my father and I were starting to get reacquainted as adults. I had been living overseas. I'd been going in the military. I had left as a teenager, and now I was a grown-up in my 30s, and he and I were really starting to enjoy each other's company. If you fast forward less than a year later, over about an eight-month period, I found myself standing in a hospital looking at my father, who was lying in a coma that he never came out of. I was separated in my marriage at the time, soon to be divorced. I was living in an apartment upstairs from an old man who 24 hours a day sounded like he was coughing up a pack of cigarettes, so I could hear that all the time. And not surprisingly, I was starting to have some health problems, probably related to stress. My financial resources had been cut in half, and I remember thinking at the time, how the hell did this happen? You know, how did this all, what did I do wrong? I don't deserve this. All of these kind of thoughts were going through my mind. And as the days and the weeks wore on when I was in that other's place, I also remember thinking that this would probably never end and that I could not possibly survive it. So I felt helpless, I felt lost, and I almost felt defeated. But to make a long story short, fast forward another year or so ahead, it did end. I did survive. I created another wonderful relationship, a wonderful marriage. And for a lot of years since then, I have found that my life has been far better than it ever was before, with, of course, a few up and down cycles along the way. So what I thought was the end of the world back then, when I was immersed in it, ended up being just another one of those up-down cycles. Now, I'm sure everyone here has at least one story like that from your past, maybe even several stories. At certain times in our lives, all of us have entered into periods that we might call the dark ages. The poets call these times the dark night of the soul. Now, it may be related to something we're going through at the time, like a divorce or a problem with our business, being downsized, whatever it is, maybe an illness. Or it may be a more wide-ranging situation that affects everyone, like a war or the recession that we're dealing with right now, something that affects our life along with a lot of other people. In either case, whenever it happens, whatever it is, it's usually not a whole lot of fun, but we've all been there, and some of you may be there now. However, when we do find ourselves walking through the valley of the shadow, as we all remember from our childhood, the most important thing that we can do spiritually is to keep on moving. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Now, a number of years ago, I was out at one of our conferences in California, and a man by the name of Dr. Tom Costa, he spoke here about a year and a half ago. Some of you saw him, a little Italian man, wonderful energy, and he is since passed on. He died last year. I remember once in his talk, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not stop and buy a condominium." Okay, what you're going through. Okay. Now, that's one of those pithy little life lessons that we need to learn and to remember. You see, when we find ourselves in a down situation, the most serious consequence is not the physical suffering or the emotional distress that we go through, though that's obviously a big part of it. That's a lot of what most people remember. A much more serious problem is what this feeling of being lost in the dark does to our mental and spiritual well-being. It's what it does to our optimism. Because the way that we think or feel or believe while things are tough, and the way we choose to respond mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to whatever is happening around us, that is what is going to determine how serious that particular situation is going to be for us over the long run, including how long it lasts, how it changes us, and what our life is going to be like when it's over. And make no mistake, it will be over. Because in spite of what we hear on the news, and in spite of what the people who tend to watch the news all the time try to tell us, 99.999% of the time, we get ourselves into these situations, and eventually we do get ourselves out somehow, because nothing lasts forever. Our problems are never permanent, and our growth never ends. Now, sometimes this is hard to remember, especially when we're in the middle of a lot of emotional or physical pain, but it is still true. Now, we've all heard the saying that pain is mandatory, but suffering is optional. That means pain is always going to end if we respond to it intelligently. Pain is just a message that something needs to change, but our suffering is going to last as long as we are willing to drag it out, and oh, do we love to drag it out. You know, we really do that well. We like to wallow in the misery. We like to cry and complain and feel sorry for ourselves. We even like to bore everyone around us to death with our story, as Susan was talking about. But when we finally decide at a deep enough level that we no longer have a need for this or that particular unpleasant experience, when we finally take it into our consciousness that we've learned all we need to learn and we don't want to play anymore, then that experience, no matter how bad it is or how long we have been going through it, will no longer affect us. It will no longer affect us. Because, to paraphrase Dr. Ernest Holmes, if you're new here, the thing that got us into the mess in the first place is the only thing that can get us out of it and eventually lead us to a better place. And that thing is not something out there. That thing is our consciousness. It is our intelligence, it is our spiritual receptivity, and it is our passion for living a better life. That means no matter how or why we got ourselves into it, we always have the ability and we always have the resources and there are always the opportunities around it to get ourselves out, even if it doesn't look so promising at the time. Now, if you think back through your life to those times when you felt the darkness closing in, and we all know what that feels like, think about what it was that really had you worried. Was it the fact that you didn't know why you were there or what you were going to do? Could have been that. Or was it that you didn't know when it was going to end? I mean, frequently, that's the worst part of it. That's worse than the fear or the helplessness or the frustration, because we can put up with stuff as long as we know that it's going to be over. If someone in a position of authority could come up and tell us, no matter how bad things were, that all of the bad stuff would be over and done in 6 weeks or 6 months or a year or whatever it was, most of us would probably say, okay, I can handle that. All I have to do is just suck it up a little and hang in there a little bit longer, and we would start to feel better immediately. As long as we know that the darkness is going to end, it may not be fun, but at least it's manageable because our mind now knows that there's an end point. If we can trust that there's a light at the end of the tunnel, even if we can only see that light in here instead of out there, we can start to look forward to a life where we are back in balance and where we are back on an upward trajectory in our life. You know, something I started doing years ago in counseling, when I was talking to people who were really unhappy over the fact that they were running out of money or they didn't have a relationship or they didn't have a job or didn't like their job, at some point, and I don't remember when I started doing this, I would always say to them, look, how would you feel if I went over to my desk and I pulled out a contract? Okay, and I would guarantee you in writing that exactly 1 year from today, 365 days from today, you will get the exact job that you want, or the perfect partner, or all the money you need to live the way you want to live. And they'd always think about it for a minute. I said, what would your thoughts be then? And they'd think for a minute, and they'd say, you know, if that was guaranteed, then I could wait a year and I could sort of relax knowing that it was going to happen. At least I wouldn't be afraid anymore and I could stop worrying that there was something wrong with me. I almost always get that answer, and it's a very interesting statement. Because what that tells me and what it should tell them is what they really believe about the situation that they're in. Because it tells me that they are afraid in their present state of mind that what they want so much is never, ever going to happen. It tells me that they are thinking there's something wrong with them and that they don't believe they can create what they want in their life without a written guarantee from someone else. Those are the real beliefs that are lurking around in their mind. And as long as they hold those beliefs, whether or not they are conscious of what they are or whether they're even aware that they are holding them, that is going to be the truth for them. Because those beliefs, more than any external circumstance or any personal history or any person in their life, are what will bind them tightly to the predicament that they want so desperately to change. You see, whenever things are not going well, most of us have all sorts of reasons why our life is a mess. Now, it's different if things are going really well in our life. You know, if things are going good, I figure things must be going well because I have got my act together. That's why I figure they're happening. It must be because I got all this spiritual, creative stuff down. I am enlightened. That's why my life is going really well. That's what we normally think. However, if things start going badly in my life, I have a whole different mindset. I figure that a big part of the problem must be out there, outside of me, out of my control. It's not my fault. Somebody is doing this to me. It's bad karma, negative energy. Mercury is in retrograde. What, you know how things happen with all that stuff, you know. If we are looking for excuses to explain or to justify a situation that we are in that's not helping us to enjoy our life, we can find all the excuses we want. But what we have to understand is that finding justification for a problem only prolongs the problem. Now, the philosopher William James, one of my favorites, he wrote in the early 1900s, he once said, very simple but very straightforward statement, that which holds the attention determines the action. That which holds the attention determines our action. What he means is when things aren't working in our life, there is a tendency for us to keep our consciousness focused on limitation producing conditions. That's what we focus on. Not because those conditions need to be limited, but because we allow them to limit us. We accept those external limitations, those society, worldly limitations, as cold, hard facts. That's what the world tells us is normal, rational thinking, like we were taught in school. Now, sometimes we see a lot of other people caught up in the same problem that we have, so we figure we are normal. You know, because everybody's having that problem. I mean, if everybody else is having the same problem, then there's nothing wrong with me having it too. See, the economy is affecting everyone, so no one in my field can get a decent job. No one my age can make enough money, all these things. There's a certain comfort in that for some people to be able to say everybody else has the problem. But that kind of thinking will never, ever get us to a better place. It'll just put us in the company of a lot more people who have the exact same problem, and that is not the kind of company that you or I want to keep. Or ask yourself this question, do I want to be normal or do I want to be happy? That's always an interesting question to ask ourselves, you know? Instead, when we find ourselves in a situation that we are consciously ready to grow out of, and we can't decide what we need to do, one thing we can do is to look around and find someone who has successfully grown out of that same situation. In other words, don't look for normal behavior, look for the exception. Look for the exception. Find someone who knows something that you haven't learned yet. Find someone who has done something that the world says is impossible. That's the kind of person we need to find. It also helps to stop beating up on ourselves, because finding ourselves in the middle of a difficult or confusing condition does not mean that we are weak or powerless. It simply means that we have allowed our thinking to become stifled, confused, or misdirected. So our problem, which is only ours because we claim it, our problem is being caused or continued by some decision we have made or not made, consciously or unconsciously, and all we have to do to begin changing our circumstances is to start making some better decisions. Thoreau once said, "I know of no more encouraging fact than the unquestionable ability of man or woman to elevate their life by a conscious endeavor." A conscious endeavor. That conscious endeavor that he's talking about is simply the ability to see a better idea and to follow that idea to a better place. Now, if we can only do it by finding someone else with a better idea, there's nothing wrong with using their idea to help us as long as it serves us well. But if no one around us seems to have a better idea, we had better be ready to come up with one on our own. And that is where this teaching comes in. You see, we all have a whole lot of subtle and not so subtle conditioning that affects the way we think, and as a result, it affects the way we live. And it really shows up when we find ourselves in a situation that severely challenges us. The problem is, when we first begin using a teaching like this one, especially when we have not yet made a habit of examining our thoughts and beliefs on a regular basis, we tend to fall back on the old ideas. And one of the oldest ideas that we fall back on is the belief that when something terrible happens in our life, we are being punished or chastised by God, or that we are being tested by God. Some people even believe that our faith in God is being tested by the devil. Not here, but in Alabama they believe that. I've heard that, you know? Now, that kind of thinking can cause a lot of confusion in our life. And we start racking our brains to figure out what we did that made God mad enough to give us this disease. What was it I did? Or to make our spouse or partner leave us. We wonder why God is testing us instead of testing someone else. We wonder why a loving, powerful, intelligent, spiritual presence would allow some evil force to make our life miserable while he stands idly by. I use the word he figuratively, okay? So what do? We do everything we can to try to convince God to save us or to convince God that we are worthy to be saved. And this kind of mentality started for many of us when we were very small children, and for some people it continues until the day they die. It's no wonder we find it so hard to claim our power and to take control of where our life is going. When we're going through a breakup or a divorce, when we're experiencing the death of a parent or a child, the pain we feel is very, very real. When we are deep in debt, when our job is destroying our soul one day at a time, it's easy for us to feel trapped beneath the weight of the world. But no matter how dark things seem, there is always a way for us to get through it and to come out smarter and stronger on the other side. And today I'm going to tell you how to do it. Now, this is a solution that will work when you are facing a serious problem and things seem hopeless. It's also a solution that will work when you're just running into a constant chain of annoying little problems and you start to get down on yourself, on the world, when you're having a bad hair day, day after day after day after day. This will work there too. Now, the first thing to do is to recognize that this divine intelligence, this power for good, is always present where we are whenever things look the worst. That means if it's the only creative power there is, as we believe, then it's also the power that we're going to have to use to get ourselves out of the dark and back into the light. Now, let me say this. It's important for us to realize that this intelligence, this power that we call God or Spirit, whatever we call it, it does not see the darkness because it is light itself. It doesn't see darkness because it is the light, it is illumination, it is perfect awareness, perfect knowing, and perfect clarity. So we are the ones who are standing in the shadow, or we are the ones who are blocking our own light by hiding under a bushel. But as we step out from the shadows, and as we become aware of the light, we start to see that there's something much more powerful than the darkness that we are allowing ourselves to experience. Next, once we see the relationship between where we have been in the darkness and where we could be, which is in the light, we need to understand that we are the only ones who can decide when we want our suffering or our negative experience to end. We have to make that decision. The power to change what we're going through is always immediately available to us. All of the ideas, all the opportunities, all the alternatives we could ever need, but God or Spirit will not make that decision for us. You see, it doesn't know that we are depressed or scared or unhappy or sick and tired of the life we have. All it knows is that it is ready, willing, and able to create a new and better experience for us as soon as we are ready to accept a new and better experience for ourselves. Finally, after accepting that this power is here for us and making a conscious decision to experience something better, we need to actually focus our attention on something better, on a better experience, on a greater expression of life, whatever we decide, and to actually move towards that, now that we're in the light, move towards that vision with the belief that it is already ours. Not that it's going to be when things change, but that it is already ours in consciousness. It's already the truth in our mind and in our heart, which is where the creative process always begins. We don't need to fight the obstacles that are blocking our vision. We don't need to force the world to change. We simply need to keep our mind open and our attention focused and to do whatever the wisdom within us tells us to do until we get to that place mentally and physically where we have already put ourselves emotionally and spiritually in consciousness. Now, the answer that we seek may come from a lot of different places. It may come in a conversation with a friend. It may come from an article we read in the newspaper or something online. It may just pop into our head while we're on the Stairmaster. But it can only come if we are open to it. Now, sometimes, once we start following this wisdom, the situation that we are in will begin to fade away quickly until it's just a distant memory. Sometimes the situation we're in may stay the same while we rise above it, like the recession. That can still be here and we can still prosper. When we rise above it, it no longer touches us. Either way, we're going to find ourselves in a better place. One of my favorite philosophers, someone Susan mentioned earlier, Albert Einstein, once said this. It's a few lines, but get this. It's really, really great. He says, "Keep in mind that wherever you are, whatever your circumstances may be, whatever misfortune you may have suffered, the music of your life has not gone." The music of your life has not gone. We have to teach ourselves to hear the music of our life even in the deepest silence or when there is noise playing all around, and to see the light of our life even in our darkest hour. Because there's a power in us that's never going to let us down. And as we learn to use this power and as our faith in it grows stronger, we are never again going to fear those periods of darkness because we will see them for what they really are. And the darkness that we find ourselves in now and again, which we always will never again have power over us because we will have seen the light. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine, and so it is, and so it is. Thank you. All right, let's take a few moments, take a breath or two. Roll your head on your shoulders a little. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let us recognize that even in the darkness, one small light can shine out. One small light is more powerful than all the darkness in the universe. So we recognize that that light is not something we seek, it is what we are. We recognize that the light in us is the same light that shines in the center of spirit. The light that we shine, the flame that burns within us, is part of the eternal flame that has always been burning and will always burn brightly in the world. So as we recognize this truth, we allow ourselves to be calm and centered within, no matter what is happening around us. We are steady, we are centered, even though the world around us may go up or down or around. And as we move forward, whatever situation we are in, we look beyond the darkness to see the light, and we look beyond the light to see our life expanding and growing in a variety of ways. So we know that anything we need to deal with, anything that goes around us, is not as powerful as the creative power of spirit that expresses through us. Never, ever. So I invite you now, in the silence of your own heart and mind, if you are going through something now in your life, see it as ending. See the health coming forward to replace the illness, the prosperity coming forward to replace the lack. Focus on the greater idea. Focus on this idea. See the love coming forward to replace the loneliness. And as you see this in your own life, if your life is going beautifully now, look forward without fear, knowing that the light is always present, even in the dark. So take these few moments for yourself, seeing this truth in your mind's eye. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept that the light in us is more powerful than anything we may encounter. We accept that we are the expression of spirit in the world and that life is a good thing, all of life, no matter what. We do not judge, we do not label, we do not define. We simply go through life deeply grateful for all that we have been given and all that we are able to give. This is our truth. Knowing this, we release this awareness into consciousness, letting it go forth and do its perfect work for us all the time, everywhere we are, in everything we do. This is our truth. We accept it, and so it is.